Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, July the 23rd, 2011, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with us as we take a look at some, well, dilly whopper of questions. I like to call them that because they are unusual, and I'm very grateful that you chose to be with me, and that those of you who were with us up at Mount Madonna last week and our meditation experience there, I'm very grateful that we had that chance to do that. We're going to do it again in November. And if you'd like a little more information regarding our November retreat at Mount Madonna, please go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And you can go to events. You will see retreats. If you just click on retreats, a little menu will pop down. It'll tell you all about retreats and when our next one is going to be. We just concluded our summer sit. We're going into the depth of intrinsic love for our next experience in November. I think it will be very, very powerful for so many people. As we end this year, as it were, on a very interesting note, we're going to be looking at the meaning of our life past the things that we believe in, the things that we've been taught and told. I'm going to be offering to you something very unique at this very kind of cathartic, loving, beautiful time together at Mount Madonna. It'll be a time where we get to look within ourselves and find the part of us that is authentic, the real part of us that is deeply authentic. And most people never find that in their life. You know, if you really look at it, people don't generally find the authentic. They're always looking for something to make them happy. The only thing that can ever make me happy, really make me happy, is the authentic. The beauty of my life past my fears, my hate, and my anger, and to go into that intrinsic love that lives within me. Again, if you want more information about our retreats, please come to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. As you trundle on into it, you'll see workshops and retreats. A big banner will go across. All you have to do is click on that, and you will have a wonderful experience by looking at our Mount Madonna time together. There'll be pictures coming up there soon, so you'll get to see that. Our fall retreat, the presence of the intrinsic, will be November the 13th through the 17th at Mount Madonna. And if you go to the website, you can learn more about it. I'd be honored to have you there. Let's go to the first question. This is from Stephanie down in San Diego. I've known Stephanie for a little while. She is a very interesting person. Hi, Greg. Sometimes I find myself using my practice to judge how others are not in a practice. How can I escape this, Stephanie? Stephanie, there is nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, more dangerous than a spiritual ego. And evidently, you are struck by it. Now, had you been a more diligent student, my darling, this wouldn't be happening. But I'll tell you, to be honest with you, most people suffer from this. They think they know the way. If you go on Facebook and you see all these people running around half naked, doing their yoga posture, showing off their trim bodies, everybody thinks they're spiritual. And I have not found anyone who is basically in that category just because you can touch your toes and stick your tongue around your ear at the same time. I don't really think that that's really what it's all about. It helps, but it isn't what it's all about. Spiritual egos are very prevalent in our culture and society. I have students who think they're really spiritual. You're one of them. And you think maybe you're in a practice, you know, and maybe you're not. Maybe you don't do the meditations. I don't remember ever seeing you do them, but maybe I'm wrong. I think it's very interesting, this judgmental thing that we have in our minds. Judge not, lest ye be judged. I think that was the statement Jesus made. But here's the deal. And Stephanie, you're going to have to be kind to yourself. That's the first real law here. And here's how it works. Of course your mind's going to judge. Of course. But that doesn't mean you're judging. The mind is going to do and say many things that you may not like very much. It's going to do and say things like, oh, they're lesser than me, I'm better than them, they don't understand, I do understand, they don't get it, I do get it. And then people like to look into their outer world, and if they look into their outer world and they see that their lifestyle seems to have, well, maybe less difficulties or whatever, they think they're doing well. Everybody who has a spiritual ego is always looking into the world and judging others for what they have and have not, are or are not doing, and think to themselves, well, you know, if you're really in a practice, God blesses you and gives you all sorts of cool stuff like Ferraris and big homes and wonderful things, or you never have to worry about anything because it's all taken care of for you. This is the spiritual ego. No, no, no. That's not the way it works. There will always be trials and tribulations and difficulties in the world. As Jesus even said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. Everybody has difficulty in life. Everybody. Why? It isn't that we're bad, wrong, sinful, all that other stuff. We are ignorant. And one of the most ignorant things I do is judge another person and look at them and say, you're not as spiritual as I am because you do this and you say that and you don't do this and you don't do that. And if I do that kind of stuff, if I live in that kind of way, my ego plays out in some very ugly gestalts in my own life. So Stephanie, when you hear your mind doing this, fear not, worry not. It's just the rumblings, what I call my earthquake of ego, rumbling around inside me, and I don't take it seriously at all. I hear it. I understand it's doing that, but do I care? Do I look at it and make it an issue? Do I look at it and think to myself, I've got to change this. I've got to change my thinking. I can't have that happening within me. It's going to happen within you. It's definitely going to happen. It happens within me. It happens within every human being. But how much credence should you give it? If you think that being in a spiritual practice means that you have to be perfect, you're wrong. No one is perfect. Not Buddha, not Jesus, not Lao Tzu, no one. It isn't about being perfect. It's about being disciplined, authentic. It is about being compassionate and merciful with human beings and with yourself. Don't fret on yourself. Don't make yourself wrong and ugly and bad for a mind that is clicking away at judgment. Rather than doing that and trying to look for your rightness, and I could get into this and tell you it's your low self-esteem that you have where you're trying to make yourself appear to be better than others to amp up your low self-esteem, which you and I both know exists. And instead of going to that place and making my life ugly like that, don't go there. Don't do that kind of thing. I think it would be better for you to just let it all go. Let your mind do what it does. Don't act on it. Don't obsess on it. Don't work from it. I have given you, Stephanie, many breathing exercises. And I have talked about this spiritual ego a great deal with my students. If you really look inside yourself, if you really understand the nature of your heart and your soul, you will understand that these rumblings, this earthquake, this kind of folderol that the ego is trying to distract you with is merely a distraction. And when it makes you believe that you are it, and because it is saying to you, oh, these people are lesser than and more than and messing with your mind, that that's you, you have missed the whole entire thing, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to miss your life because the ego is saying this or saying that. Everybody has two things in life. my dear Steph. One of them's an opinion, and the other one's a rear end. And usually the two are connected very deeply with each other. Don't be fooled by your ego, and don't be mesmerized by it. Laugh at it. Smile when it does what it does. You understand what it's doing. Let not your heart be troubled by it, okay? And have a great, use that great sense of humor you have. And let not your heart be troubled about that, okay? Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Yeah, Facebook is the spiritual unconscious of all of us. I mean, what a nightmare that place is. And when I really think about how people are and what they consider spiritual, no discipline, no inner work. It's all about, stretching and posturing and trying to find the perfect male or female. How far we have strayed from the path. All right, this one comes from Stan in San Diego. Now listen to this. This is really interesting. I have watched you for over 20 years on TV. My mind cannot accept much of what you teach, and yet my heart follows you all the way. Can we be like that? Can we be all that wrong as you teach, even in your commentaries? I honor you, yet I question, Stan. I love you, Stan. I don't know who you are, and this question is amazing. I don't get many of these. Usually I get, pretty dull and pedestrian kind of questions, but yours is not. So I want to spend a little time with it. It is true that your ego cannot listen to me. No ego can listen to me. And it is true your mind will fight everything I have been teaching you for 23 years on television. Yes, over and over and over again, I have tried to teach you and teach you and teach you. And yes, everything that I offer to you sounds counter to your ego, your pride, your vanity. Counter to everything you've ever known, ever believed in, probably ever thought was possible. I am counterculture. I am counter-religion. You know this. You must know this by how I have taught all these years. The series Passing Through the Fires. Do you realize the amount of guff mail I got for that one? Especially when I threw the old crucifix in the fire. Do you remember that one, Stan? And how about the Eightfold Path, where I talk about the Buddha's beautiful teachings? And yet, in all of that, I take it away from the literal. You see, in all the teachings I've done, even in the Gnostic Gospels that I did way early on in Aspire, teaching the insights that Jesus taught from the Gnostic Gospels, not from the edited version, but from the non-edited version, I have taken all sorts of flack because the mind has been conditioned and trained. And the more conditioned and the more trained it is, the deeper the experience is to misunderstand me. There is every possibility for you to misunderstand me. Every single possibility. You say, my mind cannot accept much of what you teach. Do you realize how beautiful that is of you? That you understand your mind cannot accept any of this. The teachings of compassion, of love. They're very difficult to understand. And you're right, my commentaries, when I write them, the last one I did about the sound of one hand clapping, no thing. It is a very difficult thing for most people to look at. How do you talk about nothing? How do you deal with no thing? What is the meaning of no thing? People look at that and they think, what is he talking about? He's insane. And I am. I am crazy. And then you say, and yet my heart follows you. Your heart. You aren't following me. You are following what I'm following. We are following the heart. And the heart is always counter to the mind. Always. The mind is full of concepts and precepts, and religion and philosophy, and hopes and dreams. We live 99% out of our unconscious mind. All the great psychologists supposedly have taught us this, but it is true. I have found it in my own life. I don't care what psychologists say. I care about my own direct experience, and I find it very true that if I were not at a distance with my thoughts, I would be allowing them to live me, and I would start thinking from those thoughts, and I would start becoming depressed and emotional. But my heart is something different. It liberates me. Because it lives in the very mystery of life. We want life to be well thought out. We want to understand it. You can't understand life. It is inexplicable. And it is unconditional. And it has nothing to do with one thought leading to another. We are so arrogant as to think that our logic and reasoning could make any kind of sense out of this life. What a bunch of hooyahs we are. All of us. I remember in the beginning sitting in the ashram trying to figure out, deeply trying to figure out, how do you get this? This guy who was teaching me, this master who's teaching me, is teaching me insanity. He is teaching me to betray my thoughts, my reasoning, my logic, my rights, my wrongs, my goods, my bads. He's telling me to throw it all out. He was right. He was absolutely right. People want some austere discipline. I am not saying that an inner practice is not about a certain form of discipline, but it doesn't have to be austere. It can be playful. It can be loving. It can be flowering. It can be like a child's artwork. You ask me, can we all be that wrong in this world? Oh, we're very wrong. Oh, yeah, we're a blooming mess, and I just cleaned that one up for you. Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. We're a real mess. Stan, we have no way of even coming to a place inside of us much anymore where love is more important than emotion and passion. We're not into love. We're into want. We're into need. We're into anything that pleasures our body, our mind, comforts us in any way that we think will make us happy. That's just the way we are. And why are we that way, Stan? Because we are Americans. And Americans have their freedom. And we think we're better than because we're free enough to do whatever the government tells us to do. And that's just the way it is. And no amount of yelling and screaming and pleading and cajoling and no change of guard as far as Congress or President is concerned is going to change any of it because it has to do with our inner freedom. We are a mess, and yes, we can be that wrong. Stan, listen to me, and I'm going to give you some very powerful words here of wisdom. If you can understand them, bless you. If you can't, bless you. Don't follow my words, and don't even listen to them. Follow the silences, the pauses, the gaps between your words. Feel your heart. You'll find me there with you. As when I am in my heart, I will find you there within me. There isn't one who is greater or lesser here. The meaning of our life is to follow the heart. Not the emotions, but the heart. And if you follow your heart with compassion, not passion, if you can follow your heart and live a merciful life, to live the mercy you seek for yourself, you have come to a place where you will hear everything I am not saying with my silly and inadequate words. And you and I will have communion in a way, in a place that most people do not even believe exists. So be wise, dear man. Keep watching. Keep listening. But keep following your heart. And please forgive my silly words. Namaste. Rarely in my career have I had a email that beautiful for me. And I love it very much, Stan. And I don't know how many people are out there have listened to me and watched me for so many years. It's kind of a secret club. Meg from San Diego, the last question for this week. Why do I know you? Get this. When I'm not attached to our egos, when we have never met, yet I know you. Who are you, Meg? Meg, I am you. There must be a certain part of me that I emulate that is you. That is you in a form that most people simply ignore. You must be feeling the essence of yourself through me. I am no different than anyone else on this planet. I weep. I have joy. I hurt. At times I have remorse. Other times silly regret. Sometimes I see what is and sometimes I don't. I am human and divine just like you. But I think what you're really saying to me here is you recognize something profound. It isn't about me, and it isn't about you. It's about what exists between us. It is that which is beyond my ego, my vanity, my pride, my arrogance. It is beyond what it is I can think and what it is I can hope for. You recognize something within me that is you, and it must be very beautiful to you. It must be very loving and kind. So, Meg, forget about me and you. You say, why do I know you? Because you must know your heart. You must know your essence. You must know your inner being, because that's what I'm most interested in my life with. You must know that part of you that most people disown very quickly because they're afraid they'll be alone in this world if they admit that they know their heart. And even though, as you say in your email, we are not attached in the world or in our egos, you know that you know. Hold that knowing, just like Stan. Know and know and know without having to think, without having to believe, without having to want, or without having to have anything proved to you. Just know that you know. And that will lead you to authentic faith and beauty. You and I do not exist. Only what exists is what we are. Beyond our body, beyond our mind, beyond our circumstance, beyond the beyond, as the Buddha said. I'm honored, Meg. Please forgive me. Namaste. God, what a great email. I've had three great emails here, and I'm very, very grateful for them. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be in service to you with, please come to the website at aspire.org, and you can contact me personally in two different ways. You can go to media and go to radio program. You'll see a little menu pop down. Just hit it. You'll see a little Buddha typing on his computer. Or you can just hit contact on the main page and email me from there. Your questions are always important to me, and I would be honored to hear from you. And if you want me to leave your name out, please feel free to do so, and I'd be happy to do that. The sound of one hand clapping. Yeah, my new TV series. I have a beautiful new TV series entitled The Sound of One Hand Clapping. I filmed these in a way that is so different from any Aspire that has ever been made. And I really hope that you're enjoying them. I made a beautiful 4-CD set, a book on CD as it were, with all 8 discourses on the sound of one hand clapping. These stories that I offer you come from the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. And if you want to know a little bit more about them, you can go to the website at aspire.org and go look at my commentary. And if you look at the commentary, you will see I've written something about No Thing there, the last commentary I did before I went up to Mount Madonna, and it will explain to you a lot about what it means to have No Thing and what the sound of one hand clapping really is all about. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. These stories have been passed down for many, many hundreds of years, and now they're yours. And what I do is try to explain to you in about 30 minutes, really 28-20, some of the most important insights. But the beauty of these stories are that they awaken you on the inside. And that's what the 4-CD set is all about. I will help you come to a place beyond philosophy and religion where you can be touched and moved for the sake of a spiritual practice. And you can order your CDs right away. I'll pop them in the mail to you, first class mail. You won't regret. The donation is only $40. Parts of that are tax deductible. And the proceeds are used to purchase more airtime of our radio and our television program, Aspire. And I hope that you will order. You can do it over the internet, over my website, safely and very securely. Or you can call me at 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410. Right now I'm at the Carl Cherry Center here in Carmel, and I'm doing a kind of a Saturday morning discourse with my group. But if you leave your name and your phone number, I'll call you right back when I get back from discourse, and I'll fulfill your order for you. You won't be sorry. These are very beautiful CDs. They really are. And you'll listen to them many, many times. I'm out of here. I will be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04. I hope you'll join me. I'd be honored if you did. Have a beautiful day. And of course, as you well know, please forgive me. Namaste.